In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, narrated from Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, that Asma binti Abi Bakr, the sister of Aisha, narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when the person enters his qabr, if he is a mu'min, his salah and his siyam surround him. And the angels, meaning of punishment, come. And the salah push them away. And they come from another side. And the siyam push it away. And the hadith then goes on. And as for the kafir, nothing can push the angels away. So the hadith goes on. It's a long hadith. What protects from adab al-qabr? Salah and siyam, but then we can extrapolate any good deed. Excellent point here. What protects from adab al-qabr? Any good deed. It's explicit here. Salah and siyam stand as protections. Now, salah and siyam are of the arkan of Islam. And they include Quran and dhikr and dua and sajda. All types of worship are included in here. So we can say one of the ways to protect from adab al-qabr is to make sure we have lots of good deeds. This is one of the ways to protect from adab al-qabr. Just like one of the ways to get into adab al-qabr is every major sin. Again, it makes complete sense. Complete complementary here, right? Okay, point number what now? Four? Point number four of the ways to protect from adab al-qabr, and this is really the ways that we should start practicing specifically. Memorizing and reciting frequently Surah Al-Mulk. There are so many ahadith that mention the blessings of Surah Al-Mulk. Of them, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, Surah Tabarak hiya al-mani'atu min adhab al-qabr. It is explicitly linked. Surah Tabarak is the preventer from adhab al-qabr. End of story. What more incentive do you need, brothers and sisters? If you haven't memorized Surah Mulk, start memorizing it today. Surah Tabarak hiya al-mani'atu min adhab al-qabr. It is the surah that will prevent adhab al-qabr. And it's authentic hadith in a number of books, including Al-Tabarani and Al-Hakim. And also we have in Sunan al-Tirmidhi that there is one surah in the Quran that's only 30 verses, our Prophet said, 30 ayah. And it made shafa'ah in front of Allah until Allah forgave him. It is Surah Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. Very explicit. And it is in Tirmidhi. And Ibn Mas'ud said, this is Ibn Mas'ud saying, Ibn Mas'ud said, a person will be brought to his qabr and two men will come to him. And when they come to him, it will be said, or a voice will be heard, you have no way to get to this man. He would recite Surah Al-Mulk. Two angels will come, meaning the angels of punishment will come. And a voice will be said, it will be heard. A voice will say, meaning another voice, an angel will say, لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلٌ. You have no way to get to this man. He's protected. Because كان يقوم يقرأ بسورة الملك. He would stand and he would recite Surah Al-Mulk. Then they will try to come from his chest and it will be said to him, go away. Come to his face, it will be said to him, go away. Come from his top, it will be said to him, go away. And Ibn Mas'ud said, فهي المانعة تمنع من عذاب القبر. He said the same thing as the Prophet ﷺ, but he's explaining it longer. It is the mani'a. Mani'a means preventer. It will prevent from adhab al-qabr. And so this is Ibn Mas'ud saying something, elaborating on Surah Tabarak or Surah Al-Mulk being a protection from adhab al-qabr. So how does Surah Al-Tabarak prevent from adhab al-qabr? The one who frequently recites it, the one who memorizes it, the one who loves it, the one who recites it in salah. This is the one who, because this version says, كَانَ يَقُومُ, he would stand with Surah Al-Mulk in salah. So not just reading it once or twice, but being frequent in its reading. Being of those who are of, and it is also reported, even though some have said the hadith is, Allah knows best if it's weak or not, but one version says the Prophet ﷺ would recite Surah Mulk every single night. There is a narration like this as well. He would recite Surah Mulk every single night. But even if it's not every night, these traditions that mention protecting from adab al-qabr, they simply mention frequency of mulk. So this means Surah Mulk should be on your regular list, along with Ikhlas and Qul Huwallahu Ahad and Falaq al-Nas, as Surah Mulk as well. Even if you split it over 2, 3, 4 rak'at or something, or you recite it every few days, but it should be in your regular reading list, Surah Mulk as well. Okay? So this is point number what? 5, I think, or whatever one. Okay? The last point for today, inshallah ta'ala, and that is, what else protects us from Adhabul Qabr? This is something all of you know. What is it? Sister says what? Very good, mashallah. Dua. The sister said it, none of the brothers got it, mashallah. The most obvious, dua. Dua protects from Adhabul Qabr. And there are many narrations about dua. And I'm going to mention some of them to show you how powerful these narrations are. Of them, in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, muttafaq alayh, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas said that, it is narrated that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas would teach his children this dua the way that the teachers would teach kids alphabet. The way that you say alif, ba, ta, tha, he would teach his children this dua. What dua is this? That he said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us at after every single salah, we say this dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jubni, wa a'udhu bika an uradda ila ardha lil-umr, wa a'udhu bika min fitnati ad-dunya, wa a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. He would teach his children this dua the way the teachers teach the alphabet to their kids. And he would say to his kids, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say this after every single salah. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from cowardice. I seek refuge in you from living to a senile old age. وَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَ لِلْعُمُرِ. So number two. Number three, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدُّنْيَا. All of the trials of the dunya. And number four, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. When would our Prophet say this dua? Guys, when would he say this? After every single salah. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Bakr narrates, that, and this is in An-Nisa'i, that the Prophet would say after every single salah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqri wa'adhab al-qabri. After every salah, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from kufr and from extreme poverty. I don't want to be extremely poor. And from adhabul qabr. Zayd bin Arqam, narrated in Sahih Muslim, said that I am only teaching you like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasli wal-jubni wal-bukhli wal-harami wa'adhabil qabr. Again, after every salah, عذاب القبر. I seek refuge in you from being lazy and from being incapable and from being cowardly and from being stingy and from living to an old age and from عذاب القبر. Again, Sahih Muslim. And Aisha and Sahih Bukhari said, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always seek refuge in Allah with this dua, again after every salah. So we have, I just quoted you five sahaba, five, and I wanted to do this on purpose. To demonstrate, five different sahaba are telling us after every single salah, our Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge from عذاب القبر. Aisha says that he would say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nar, wa min عذاب النار, wa min fitnatil qabr, wa min عذاب القبر. After every salah, he would make dua seeking refuge from عذاب القبر. Now you tell me, the one who seeks refuge from عذاب القبر five times a day for 50 years of his life, will Allah not accept even one dua once and that's it, gone? Think about that. So, brothers and sisters, from now on, after every salah, add this dua. Add this dua. Allahumma ni'udhu bika. And you can use any of them. Min al-kufri, wal-faqri, wal-ajzi, wal-bakhli, wa min adhab al-qabr, wa min fitnati al-qabr. Make it your habit. Don't just rush after salah. Remember, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, of the best times of dua is after salah finishes. Why? Because the lazy people want to rush out and go back. That's when the righteous sit down and they do their adhkar. That's what the angels, when the famous hadith said, what are the angels fighting over? What are the angels fighting that? What is the best deed? Adhkar ba'da salawat. Sitting down after the salawat and just doing your dhikr. When everybody wants to rush away, say the salam and khalas before you know it, half the audience is out. Okay, it's halal, no problem. But this is where the darajat are raised up. This is where the race is won. The salah is over. You don't have to sit. Just sit for a while and do subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika. And then you say these du'as. There's multiple du'as. Ayatul Kursi as well. That should also be done. Remember our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every single salah, the only thing that is between him and Jannah is his own death. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, 30 seconds. How can you not invest 30 seconds for Jannah? Come on. How lazy can we be? 30 seconds, 40 seconds reciting Ayatul Kursi after every single salah. The only thing between you and Jannah is your own death. Why can't you do that? Don't be lazy. Aim for Jannah by these small things. So add all of these, make it your habit. This is the difference between the mu'min, the muhsin, and the average Muslim. This is the difference. This is where it all goes. These small things, right? The most beloved things to Allah are the smallest, the ones that are the consistent, sorry, even if they are the smallest. This is what we're talking about here. So number five is dua for ourselves. Now, how about dua for other people? Yes, dua for other people as well. Hadith is in Abu Dawood. When our Prophet ﷺ attended the janazah, he announced to the people, "Istaghfiru li akhikum wa salu lahu thabat fa innahu al-ana yus'al." Ask forgiveness for your brother. And ask Allah to make him firm for the adab, for the fitna. Ask Allah to make him firm, because now he is being asked by the angels. Now he is being asked by the angels. So this means when we go attend a janazah, if we want people to make dua for us, we should make dua for others. We should stay there, and again, not be lazy, and make a specific dua for fitnatul qabr and adab al qabr. Oh Allah, give him thabat against the fitna. Oh Allah, give him the right answers. Oh Allah, thabbitu bil qawli thabiti fil hadithin wa fil akhirah. This is an explicit command of the Prophet ﷺ when the burial is taking place and the sand is being put on him. He didn't say, go and rush back to your house. He said, now is the time to ask Allah's forgiveness and to ask Allah for thabat, because he is being questioned now. And how about the Salat al-Janazah? Are we forgetting that? What is the Salat al-Janazah dua? A part of it, Wathil ibn al-Asqa narrated that the Prophet ﷺ taught us dua al-Mayyit. And he said, O Allah, Allahumma inna fulan ibn fulan fi dhimmatik wa habli jiwarik. O Allah, this person is now with you and he has left this world and he's in your company. Faqihi min fitnatil qabri wa adhabin nar. Faqihi. So therefore protect him from the adab and the fitna of the qabr and the nar. And the hadith goes on. When is this dua done? In the janazah and after, when the person has gone. So you mention him by name. Oh Allah, Fulan ibn Fulan is now with you. So oh Allah, protect him from the fitna and the adab of the qabr. This is the least that we can do, especially to those that have a haq over us. Our friends, our relatives, our deceased loved ones. The least we can do, we make dua for them by name. We say, oh Allah, protect them from the fitna and the adab of the qabr. Reported in Sahih Muslim, Auf ibn Malik said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ make the dua in Salat al-Janazah. And he said, Allahumma ghafir lahu warhamhu wa'afihi wa'afu anhu wa'akrim nuzulahu wa'wassi' mudkhalahu wa'ghsilhu bin ma'i wa thalji wal barad wa'naqihi min al-khataya kama yunaqqa al-thawb al-abyadu min al-danas wa'abdilhu daran khayra min dari wa'ahlan khayra min ahlihi wa'zawjan khayra min zawjihi wa'qihi fitnat al-qabri wa'adhab al-nar. Explicit. In the salah of the janazah, we have that beautiful dua we're supposed to memorize and say, oh Allah, forgive him, make his grave a vast place. Oh Allah, exchange his evil deeds with good deeds. Oh Allah, increase his nur in the qabr, etc., etc. Oh Allah, protect him from the fitna to qabr and protect him from the adab al qabr. This is explicit in the dua of the mayyit. Okay? So these are five ways to protect ourselves from adab al qabr.